Bernie Diamond with a different perspective. Image is a big thing in the world in which we live. People worry an awful lot about their image. We express who we want the world to think we are through the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the houses we live in, how we speak, walk, the restaurants we eat in. The list goes on. A new restaurant opened recently near where I live, and let me tell you, it's a very expensive place to eat. People go there to be seen. It's the cool place to hang out. It's all about image. And companies spend a lot of money on image. They tend to call it branding, but again, it's about constructing an image in our heads that we really like, an image that will cause us to buy from them. Think of all the big clothing labels, for instance. A lot of their advertising isn't so much about selling this product or that product. It's about growing and reinforcing their brand image in our heads so that when we are ready to buy, we'll buy from them. Image is a big deal in this world. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing new in that. We've spent the last few days talking about the fact that we, you and I, have been made in God's image. In fact, do a search in the Bible on the word image and we discover that image is a huge thing to God too, but from a slightly different perspective. But before we dive in and take a look at what image means to God and why he sees it as being such an important thing in our lives, let's ask ourselves what an image is, because knowing that really helps us understand God's perspective on image, really. So let me ask you, exactly what is an image? Well, an image is when we use one thing to represent another in such a way that people see it and it impacts them. A logo is a good example. The moment you see perhaps the most recognized logo on the planet, the Coca-Cola logo, what springs to mind? Well, Coke, right? The moment you see the Golden Arches, what springs to mind? McDonald's. An image is a powerful representation of something else. And so it's not rocket science to figure out that if an image can have such a powerful influence over our behaviour, it can be either good or incredibly bad. Images can influence us positively and negatively. There's mounting evidence that the imagery in violent computer games is impacting at least some young people in an incredibly negative way. There's a reason why they use images of happy, well-balanced families having breakfast to sell us everything from orange juice to muesli to margarine. There's a reason they use young women in bikinis to sell holidays in the sun. There's a reason why Apple is so careful about the design not only of its products, but of the packaging it comes in. It's all about image. And images are influencers. Let me say that again. It's a powerful truth. Images are influencers. We get a strong hint of the role and the power of an image from the New Testament of the Bible, where the original Greek word that we translate into the word image is the word icon. We all know what an icon is. It's a representation of something big through something small. Now, how seriously does God take image? So seriously that the first two of the Ten Commandments are based on the right and wrong use of images. Have a listen to this. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. He says, look, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now that word idol, you shall not make for yourself an idol, it literally means an image. You shall not make an image of anything in the form or in the likeness of anything in the sky or on the earth or under the ocean. Why? Because God knows that images are influences, and before we know it, we're bowing down to worship the image instead of the true living God. Not only will you not make for yourself an idol or an image, says God, but you will not bow down to worship it. How easy is it to idolize an image? How easy is it to idolize a look, a brand, a style of clothing, a restaurant scene, a type of car, a pair of shoes? In fact, it's almost a natural thing to do because images are designed to be seductive and they end up seducing us away from God. When Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from God, what was the nation of Israel doing? They broke the first two commandments. They gathered gold, melted it down, created a golden calf, an image, an icon, an idol. I wonder, isn't it a coincidence that each of those starts with I? And they worshipped it. So what was God's take on all that? This is how Moses recounts what God said to him. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, "Get up, go down quickly from here, for your people whom I have brought from Egypt have acted corruptly. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them. They have cast an image for themselves." See, God knows that the moment we chase after other images, we end up with a distorted self-image. We worship the wrong image, and our self-image becomes distorted and then marred and then completely unrecognizable. You and I were made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. We are icons of God. We are in small what He is in large. And His plan is for us to have the real thing. His plan is for us to know His love. But you and I, we are so often seduced by the imagery of this world. You and I are so often like the Israelites. Recognize, the Israelites made the golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain receiving God's commandments. And to make that golden calf, you know what they had to do? They had to give up their own gold, their rings, their jewelry, their ornaments, because that's how they made the image. They took all that gold, they melted it down, they made this false image of the calf. And what did they end up doing? They ended up worshipping it. They paid to worship a false image, sacrificing the most precious things of life to chase after false gods. And let me say it again, the reason this is so dangerous is because images are influences. They become idols. They supplant God from the number one position in our lives. And that ends up ruining our lives. It breaks the most important link of all, the link between us and the one whose image in which we've been created. And when we worship false images, false idols of money, success, position, brands, whatever our golden calf happens to be, we end up being remade in the image of that false idol. That's what mars us. That's what scars us. That's what makes the original image, the image of God in our lives, unrecognizable. And that right there is the central problem, the central malady, the central disease of humanity, forsaking the God in whose image we've been made and remaking ourselves in a false image. We're going to talk some more about this tomorrow, because as it turned out, it was still going on centuries later, as we'll see in the Apostle Paul's account. And truthfully, tragically, it's still going on here and now, a few thousand years later, ruining many a life, robbing many a man and woman and child of all that God has for them. It is truly tragic. But God has an awesome plan to deal with it. There is such incredible power in the Word of God to set things right in our lives. That's why we do what we do here at Christianity Works. Just the other day, I had someone share this with me on the Christianity Works Facebook page. They said, "I just want to thank you again for sharing the good news of Jesus with me over the radio. It's a while back now, but because I heard about Jesus, I gave my life to Him, and nothing's been the same since." See, that's the power of God. And our small part in that change is producing these radio messages. It never ceases to amaze me how God changes people's lives as they take a look at their identity, their situation, their circumstances from a different perspective. And millions of people each week listen to this very same radio program right around the globe, in Africa, across Asia, the Pacific nations, North America. That's the power and the reach of the media. And you know, I believe that through this series, Meet the New Me, God wants to bring some amazing and powerful transformation into your life as you come to recognize your true identity in Christ, in Him. When we chase after false images, it robs us of life. But when we worship the one in whose image we've been made, when we worship Jesus above all others in our lives, God sets about restoring us back into His image. And His image is the most powerful of all influences for good that we can have in our lives. Now, don't forget, if you're a Facebooker, then let's catch up on Facebook. Just do a search for the Christianity Works page. That's all one word, Christianity Works. Let's have a chat online. It'd be great to chat about some of the important things that happen in life. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.